right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. It is May 8th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Spring is starting to settle in. Early summer. Really, really nice out today. Great weekend. In-laws were in town from Connecticut. Had a blast hanging out with them. Got to do some paddling this weekend. I've been missing that. Felt super good. Just a great, great weekend. All because, one, I'm sober. Yeah, really, all because I'm sober, to be honest with you. Oh, and you know what else it was? It was my son Sammy's birthday. And, wow, just a lot of great stuff. A lot of, a lot of byproducts for being sober, honestly, and serene, right? You know, one of the big ones, my son's birthday, you know, my ex-wife and I are divorced, but we share custody of Sam, and we have a great relationship. She has an amazing boyfriend who I think is just awesome, right? He's the boyfriend. He is the guy she should have had. I'm grateful that we had our time together because I love our son, Sam, and I love our relationship. You know, it's not a, you know, we're exes, but we have, just because you get divorced, right? Just because something doesn't work out, hopefully you can clean up whatever it is, right, that happened, you know, whatever it is that created the separation, whoever's fault, right, the responsibility, hopefully you can dig in and really peel it back, take responsibility, right? It's done, right? What's the point? It's over. Clean it up and then try to have the best relationship you can have without being married. And that's always been, I try to be that way because I've divorced a couple times. I've shared, you know, my first one, you know, she left. Good for her. Second one was a little different. But the point is that regardless, it doesn't mean that I have to or she has to hate me, right? It doesn't mean that we have to be enemies, right? Because we're not. We have a great relationship. And I love the guy that she's with. He's great. Sam loves him. He's great. It's just a great relationship. And even though that's not my direct family, they're still my family, right? We're still like my wife and my ex-wife are friends. We, you know, it's important that we can maintain that relationship for the well-being of the kids, right? Her Sam, right? It doesn't help anybody to fight and to bicker and to be a victim of whatever the fuck you went through prior, right? Unless it's just, I don't know. Listen, everybody's situation is different. Luckily for mine, my ex-wife and I can have a decent relationship. And like I said, it was my son Sam's birthday this weekend. He was with her. So, you know, if you're familiar how a shared custody kind of works, it's, you know, whoever sort of has them is sort of, you know, takes care of that situation. And she's had Sam for the last 2 years. It's been his birthday on her week. So, but I went by there and it was just, you know, she was struggling with certain things. I was able to help out. It's just, you know, it's just another great benefit of being sober, right? It's another great benefit of being having serenity, right? The willingness. And I do. And so it was just a great weekend. In-laws came down from Connecticut, hung out with them. It was just a lot of fun. Went out to dinner. Beautiful weekend. Oh, my God. Just, you know, 100. How do I say 100 times I am grateful that I am sober?
Seems to be
seems to me. But yeah, it is just another great weekend. Just super grateful to be alive and grateful to be sober. But yeah, we are starting another week of living, right? And another week of meetings, right? I think for some people, early recovery, it's just like this grind of going to meetings. And I don't really find it a grind. There are days, right? Especially in the summer. Meetings are great in the winter because there's really not much going on. But in the summer, right, things start happening, right? The sun's up later. We're doing stuff. So it's really a test on how much we, you know, want to do this, right? How bad do we want to do this? And, of course, every day, you know, that we're on this journey is another day we are away from that day that whatever it is that happened, that moment that allowed us to jump through the window of maybe trying to get sober. But that voice is always like, was it that bad, right? It's summer. So you got to really hold, you got to really stand true, right? Get strong. And I had to at one point settle down, right, and realize that I'm going to be doing meetings for a while. So we are back to the meetings this week, which I didn't go to the meeting on Friday. That was another thing. I had my in-laws came in town and called my buddy Jim. I told him I won't be making it. And he's like, no problem, right? And I'll be back this week. But I did not make it because my life was just so full. Yeah, right. Anyway. But yeah, we are back to, you know, this regularly scheduled program, which is tonight I have a meeting, the step meeting, and it will be on the third step. And, you know, I remember when I first got sober, or I think, you know, for a while, they used to have just back to beginners, back to basics, right? It was just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I think you could probably just do meetings on 1, 2, 3 because, you know, it's funny. I think about the guy that I was when I came in this program, and I think about the guy that I am today. Still the same guy, right? One day at a time, looking out of these same eyeballs. The journey, I remember someone said, you know, regardless of the journey, you're the one that's always there, right? I have been looking out of these eyeballs for 54 years, right? And on this adventure, this exploration of good and bad and ups and downs. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy. You know, when I think about how my life could have gone and how my life is today, and just really grateful. But these first three steps remind me of the person that the actual opposite of what I am today, which is a person that was very self-centered. Still struggle with that, right? Still part of my DNA, but self-centered. Do whatever I want at what cost, at any cost, and just be a total pain in the ass. And the first three steps really to me is building that relationship with humility, right? It's to discover. I mean, when I came in, I had no clue. I'm like, I don't know a thing, right? I just know that I get caught at being drunk a lot. And in the end, that's sort of what would happen, right? It's always about getting caught. I was fine until I got caught, right? I was fine until something happens. And I used to say, I'm just an alcoholic that gets caught a lot, right? I don't even know if I wanted to even get sober in the beginning. I just know that I got caught and I got caught up. And, you know, one more time, caught up. But when I think about these first three steps, you know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, right? We admitted, to me, that's a humble move to admit, to surrender, high road, become, that shows willingness to me. If you're willing to admit that you have a problem, hopefully means that you're sort of willing to start working on the problem, right? So that's a humble move. That's, you know, you've got a pile of something on here and a pile of something over here. This is the move that heads you towards a certain pile. And then came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, that's that slow process of starting to build a relationship with a higher power. We painted a certain picture. I know I painted it as one. A lot of church, right? I remember when I went to New Hope or New Life back in Albuquerque. My parents or somebody got me a, I wanted a Bible, right? Because I was going to be better. I was going to be better. I'd had enough. My parents had had enough. I was 15. We were at a real impasse in my life, and my mom thought that this place, New Life, would help me. It was a rehab, and it was down in by the Rio Grande River. It was down in the valley, and it was in one of these like old hippie communes. It was a trip, man. It was a trippy place. It was great. Had a great time, but it was definitely a trip. And I remember being there, and I wanted a Bible. And I wanted the Bible that had the red letters when Jesus spoke. I don't know why, right? It's just, that was me. I wanted everything. I wanted the greatest part. I wanted the best version of everything, right? I want a Bible. I'm here in rehab. I'm going to get sober. I clearly need a Bible. And I need the red letters to see how Jesus spoke. I didn't care about any of it, right? I did not care. But that's sort of how I felt. Like, I needed to have a relationship with Jesus, and it had to be one where I carry around a Bible, right? You know, I've been doing this program a long time. I've seen many versions of people come in with backpacks, right? Bibles, books, brochures, tons of reading. You know, I've seen... You know, you got the guy that comes in with the book that looks like it's rolled down a hill, right? Every page has been busted. It's got rubber bands around it. It's like, what's going on with your big book? Or what's going on with this? What is this about, right? Is this, you know, like, look at me? Because we're all, it's so funny how we all just want to be unique somehow, some way, right? Regardless of what it is that we're doing. It's all, whether it's through our how we dress, what we drive, the job we have, the relationship we have, it's always something about, you know, look at me, right? Look at me. I don't know if, I didn't notice that about myself at first. I didn't realize that, right? Taking that shopping cart back to the front of the store because, you know, I'd been so disconnected for so long and left the shopping cart in the parking lot for so many years that I was going to make it all up. And I was going to make it up by taking now the shopping cart all the way back to the front of the store. But, you know, trying to see if anybody was noticing, right? Is anybody noticing how amazing I am right now? Still motivated by self, right? And it's so we're all trying to be unique. And, you know, some people still, even sober people, even people working a program, you know, that's why we have the personalities over principles over personalities, right? Because personalities are what gets us fucking screwed over. And a blown out big book with 15 rubber bands is probably personalities over principles, right? Carrying around a bunch of books, backpacks, all this different stuff. This is all, it doesn't say we need this, right? It doesn't say, but that says when I see a person with that kind of big book is that he wants or they want me to think that they are more sober than the rest of us because of the condition of this book. Like clearly this person has had to curl up many a night on the floor and read this book because of the condition that it's in. And so, you know, even in our best days, we can still look a little fucking crazy. And, but you know, the point was, is that, you know, when I first tried to get sober or when I was first sentenced to getting sober, I thought I needed to have a Bible. I thought I needed to have this relationship. I thought I needed the relationship that everybody else had painted for me. You know, going to church, looking at different people, seeing people on the television, how they behaved in church. You know, I thought, oh, well, that's what I need to do. Like, I can't have a relationship with a higher power unless I speak in tongues, right? I need to have the Lord speak through me. And how'd I get that idea? I saw it when I was at New Life. There was some guys there that would speak in tongues, and I was like, oh, wow, this is heavy, right? This guy is, he is connected, and he's got a book, a Bible. And then I needed a leather binder for my Bible, right, because I wanted to be even closer. And what I realized is all that to me is a bunch of baloney, right? It's all a bunch of baloney. You can have all that, I guess, but I don't think it makes you any closer to Jesus or God or having a relationship with whatever you want to call a higher power, right? it's about willingness, and you can't see it. You can see people trying to be willing, but you can even see through that fiasco if it's, you know, not centered right on the beam. because we're, you know, that self stuff is very tricky. And so these first three steps, we admitted, came to believe, made a decision. To me, these are really, you know, if you have trouble with these, you probably have trouble with the rest, right? You're probably, and I had trouble with these, right? And I had trouble with the rest. So I'm not saying that anybody is better or less than than anybody else. I'm just saying that it isn't such a crazy idea if you come into this program and struggle with these first three steps, right? These, to me, are the foundation of moving forward to Serenity Island. And because we have to admit, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. I don't even know what that means. I didn't know what that meant at the time. I know what it means now. I know what it means now because when I came in, I was wearing self-centered shoes, right? And so I looked at everything from a self-centered position. And when I look at this, of course, my life was a mess because everything was going wrong, right? I was a victim of alcoholism. I've changed my position, right? I have to surrender, recognize, become accountable for the part that I played, and move on. It's a two different ships, right? And so the second step that I read last week, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. It's a slow process, right? It's a slow process. But I think it's more about the attempt, right? And not the outcome. My whole life has been about the outcome and not the attempt. Finding sobriety, trying to find that one-way ticket to Serenity Island. I've learned that it's more about the attempt than it is the outcome. It's more about trying than what you get. My whole life before was about what I got and not about how much I had to try. All I cared about what I'm getting out of this. And this is about the work, the attempt. Don't worry about what you get. Just try it, right? And that sort of came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The other thing is that, you know, came to believe that a power greater, a higher power, right? Maybe that's what sounds like sort of now we have power talk, right? I am very aware today of my lower power. You know, I said this the other day. My lower power has a lot to say. He's that guy. He's that annoying guy that's in the room that everybody's like, God, shut that guy up. That's my lower power. My higher power, very quiet, right? But came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Maybe I start to have to take a second and listen to what my higher power was saying. And a little less than how obvious that my lower power, because my lower power won't shut up. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, and then came today, you know, step three. Made a decision to turn our will, our thinking, and our lives, our actions, over to the care of a God as we understood him. This third step, you know, I shared last week, I sort of shelved the second step. I sort of shelved the third step. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. That is in my confused mind, this one was confusing because this is the one that I thought that church and all this stuff that I was going to have to do had to happen for me to get sober. And I listened to those Joe and Charlie tapes. I've said this before. Go check those Joe and Charlie tapes out. They're on Spotify. They're amazing. I heard them talk about this step, and they talked about it in this way. And I don't know which one it was, but he said, you know, we made that decision to turn our will. And the will, I never even thought about this. I mean, when I heard this, I was like, okay. But our will is our thoughts, right? Our thinking. When we have, you know, when we have to write a will, it's what we're thinking at that moment for the, you know, the future, right? That where we hope, probably won't be thinking. Unfortunately, it usually is because we pass away or somebody passes. And you want what you're thinking to be documented so that when that does happen, your thoughts and wishes can be on paper and be pushed forth, you know, because you put them down, right? And so when it says made a decision to turn our will, our thinking, right, or what we're thinking about, our will, how do we think? How do I think? And go, you know, listen to Joe and Troy. He says all this. This is, I thought it was amazing. I love the story, how he shared it. It was great. So everything I say, I got from those guys. Not word for word, but the idea. But you know, the idea of turning my will thinking and my lie on our lives, which is our action, over to the care of God, you know, my life, my will, my thinking has been bad for so long, and it ends up creating bad actions, right? And so when it said made a decision to turn our will, our thinking, and our lives, our action, over to the care of a higher of God as we understood him, this is just about changing my thinking, right? This is about, this is what I would have done. Do you have that happen? You have moments where you're like, well, in the past, I probably would have, but today I'm better. I'm not going to, right? That's it. That what we would have done, I think, is probably a lower power. What we're doing today is probably our thinking and our will is for a higher power, and hopefully that's what we're doing today. But it's really better thinking, better actions. Bad thinking, bad actions, right? You know, I know this person that's, you know, I know, I won't say from where, but this person's thinking isn't good, and their actions in turn aren't good, and the actions that are around this person aren't good. And it's just so obvious because I've seen this person in many versions. Right? I've seen this person struggle. I've seen this person do really well. And then I've seen this person start to struggle again. And it's so weird how, you know, you can kind of dance in and out of these sort of lifestyles, right? You know, I've said in the past, God, if I was to drop myself back into who I was in, you know, 1991, 92, I would be in shock. I'd be scared to death, right? I'd be like, oh my God, what are we doing here? Right, because that was a different type of will in life and actions. Right, my will was about getting drugs, making money, partying, having fun, you know, whatever it takes. I'd wake up in the if I woke up, right, I might have just stayed up, but my day would start. You know, what can we do to have fun? Right, what are we going to do to have fun today? And at what cost? And today it's not like that, right? Today it's not like that. I have to, different style of thinking. And so this is a great step, but these three steps are really super important. And because the fourth step next week made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, this is that moral inventory. That's not too difficult, right? to dig in and figure out what we screwed up in and what we could do better and mistakes and amends and, you know, real low points, real character defect moments, right? Something that we wouldn't have typically done in the past, but for some reason, for whatever reason, our character was at a place that we did something like that. So it's easy to get, or it's, you sort of have an idea of what you need. But these first three steps, you know, to admit, to believe, and then to make a decision, they're tough. Especially, right, especially if you are sentenced to getting sober, which I was, right? I was sentenced to getting sober. It wasn't what I'd have said to you to your face, this is what I want, but the reality is I'd been sentenced. And, yeah. And when you're sentenced, man, sometimes we don't look at these steps in the same light, right? We're like, oh, God, we admit it. We're powerless. I got it, blah, blah. No. These are some great words, and we're lucky that we have them in our lives. All right, let me see if I can do a quick reading here, and then I've got to work today. I'm working today on a Monday. I'm having fun with it, right? I was talking to my mother-in-law yesterday. I go, yeah, I'm working tomorrow. She goes, you don't work on Mondays. I go, I'm working on Mondays now. I'm trying to make some more money, right? I'm trying to decide my happiness, right? You know, I've shared over and over, my wife isn't working. We're a one income family and we're living like the 80s. And, you know, we are living a little bit poor. But I'm also not, you know, I wasn't working on Mondays and Wednesdays. I was doing podcasts, and I'm not going to do any more Rehoboth Social podcasts. I'm sort of done with that. So I'm like, listen, if I could put a couple colors in on a Monday and a Wednesday and just, you know, work for a little bit and then be home, sort of like a half work day, half day off. It's cool. And so I've been doing that. I told you I wanted to buy that computer, bought it. And how did I do it? By working more. Great. Good job, Tom. All right, here we go. A resting place, May 8th. All of AA's 12 steps ask us to go contrary to our natural desires. They all deflate our egos. When it comes to ego deflation, few steps are harder to take than five. But scarcely any step is more necessary to long-time sobriety and peace of mind than this one. There it is. How you doing? That's when they start talking about it. I never realized that for many, 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 many years that it says that sober and peace of mind is in the fifth step. And there it is right there. But scarcely any step is more necessary to long-time sobriety and peace of mind than this one. And they are talking about the fifth step. All right. After writing down my character defects, I was unwilling to talk about them and decided it was time to stop carrying this burden alone. I needed to confess those defects to someone else. I had read and been told I could stay sober. And been told I could not stay sober unless I did. Step five, providing me with a feeling of belonging with humility and serenity when I practiced it in my daily living. It was important to admit my defects of character in the order presented in step five. To God, to ourselves, and to another human being. Admitted to God first paved the way for admission to myself and to another person. As the taking of the step is described, a feeling of being at one with God and my fellow man brought me to a resting place where I could prepare myself for the remaining steps towards a full and meaningful sobriety. Yeah. Yep. Step five, man, that is magical. It is a test that is up to us, right? That's kind of the fucked up part, right? It's your, hey, man, you choose how happy you want to be. You choose how much peace you want. And I love that. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. I'm a little scattered this morning, but I want to put this podcast out. I got a lot of thoughts. I got a busy day. Excited. It is a new week. It's beautiful out. And just so grateful. If you're trying to get sober, good luck, man. Just don't drink and you know, keep coming back, right? You know, maybe there's people that do drink that listen to this program that aren't having... they don't have a desire to get sober. Maybe they don't really have a drinking problem, but they're just still looking for some peace. I don't know. I know that in the times of my drinking, I had no desire to try to find anything peaceful, right? I guess. But yeah, whoever's listening to this podcast, I appreciate it. Keep listening. You know, If you're trying to quit drinking, one day at a time, and get to a meeting, and hang in there. Have a great day. Later.